Well, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. And in Philippians, we have chapter 4, we have that one verse that most of you know. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And of course, verse 9 says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You know, that's an admonition that fits with all Christians. Christians should encourage one another. When we learn the principles of the faith, we learn the things like love your neighbor. Love God and love your neighbor. Those are two very important teachings. And Jesus says that's the summation of the whole law. So when a believer learns things like that, those kinds of principles, love God and love your neighbor, then we should model that for others to see. We should share that truth with non-believers as well as believers. And we come down to a point where we actually say to people, well, it may be a little scary for me to say to you, live like Jesus. But see, if you yourself are living like Jesus, then you can say to that person, well, why don't you just see what I'm doing. See those things in my life, not necessarily the mistakes I make, because I make mistakes, but look at those things in my life that match up with the Word of God. So if you're living a life that's loving God, loving others, then you are able to say to others, this is how you do it. And you can go on and tell them, I learned this from the Lord Himself. He says this in His Word, in His book. Because they can go to that same book and read it. They can see it's not an idea that is original with you. This is an idea that was original with God. It originated from God. So, I was just thinking about this message today, and I started to try to count up how many messages I must have preached here, but I didn't have the heart to do it. I mean, it's a simple matter of averages and multiplying, I know. But anyhow, I didn't do that. But in all of those messages, I guess I'm trying to come down to a summation of all that. And the summation of all that is to encourage you to be followers of Jesus Christ. When I came here in January of 2002, that's what I wanted to communicate to you, to begin with. But really, that has been the message behind the message of every sermon, every teaching session. Be followers of Jesus Christ. Because if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're on the right track. You walk in His footsteps, spiritually speaking, and you literally will be on the right road. Don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right, unless He does. If Jesus makes a turn, then you make a turn. You stay on Him. You stick with Jesus. Officially, at the end of this sermon, I'm no longer your pastor. But I still want to be your friend. And at the end of this sermon, the one thing I want you to realize is you've got to start looking to that next pastor. You don't know who he is. The search committee doesn't know who he is. But God knows. God knows who the next pastor is. He most likely is preaching or going to be preaching today somewhere. Most likely. I don't know. But in looking to that next pastor, you need to realize he's going to come in here with a vision. And he's going to share that vision with you all. And what God will do, he will show you that vision as well. And you will say, "Yes, Pastor, we agree. This is God's vision for us now." So you can't live in the past. Now, we've had some wonderful experiences together. We've seen God move in mighty ways. And it was God who did it. But in God moving the way He did, that was for that time. And some of the people who were involved in that movement, some of them aren't here with us today. They've gone on to be with the Lord. They're in a good place. They get together like this all the time. Just all the time, and they're always worshiping. They're at peace. So these last few weeks, I've been thinking about those who've gone home to be with the Lord. Because I miss them. But I've also thought of the wonderful things that we've seen God do. I remember all those times that we prayed, whether it was a small group or a large group, we prayed and God answered prayer. Physical things like this building. We asked God for this building and He gave it to us. And this building's been used to minister to all age groups. It's been used to reach out to the community. Even things that were not normally church functions in the past, but we launched out like a health fair and things like that. Reaching out to the community and actually having other churches looking at us and coming to us and saying, "What are you doing? We want you to tell us what you are doing." And we'd tell them. I had pastors coming to me and saying, what are you doing? And what I would tell them, I would tell them really what you all were doing. All I was doing was preaching. You know, the pastor has about the easiest job in the church. There's several of you, many of you, who have multiple jobs. You have multiple positions. See, I'm not telling you this till now. On the day that I'm leaving, I'm telling you this. You know how many positions I have? One. There you go. Now you know. Some of the times when I was smiling at you, that's why I was smiling. Because you were doing five jobs and I'm doing one. Now, my advice to you is spread that out more. If you got five jobs, you need to give up stuff. You need to spread it out. Let somebody else have some of that joy. Yeah. So anyhow, real quickly, let's look at this verse 8. It's just a summary of all of Paul's exhortations to relative duties of children and parents and husbands and wives and friends and neighbors. So this could be a summary of exhortation to all of us. He mentions the word true. And the meaning of that word in the original language is to be sincere with your word. And all these points that I'm going to bring out, Herman already possesses these points. You're already doing these things. What I'm wanting to do is to encourage you to keep doing it. This is wrapped up in your identity as to who you are, how other churches perceive you, how other pastors perceive you as Herman Baptist Church, how the association thinks about Herman Baptist Church. You've heard Tony Medlin come here and preach, and you've heard the things he said. And he's linked to the association. Our director of mission, our former director of missions, Dennis Burton, has many times talked about the many ministries of Herman Baptist Church and the things that were going right and all that. So the first thing, true, be sincere with your word. Basically, let your yes be yes and your no be no. That's what Jesus says about our speech. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Say what you mean, especially when you're sharing the gospel. And also when you're sharing any biblical principle. Be sincere in your word. Like if you tell someone they ought to do something, then you ought to be doing it already. So just keep doing that. Be sincere in what you tell them. So think on these things. And the first one is that which is true. And then there's honest. And that's talking about dignified action. Dignity. I looked up the word dignity. Bearing conduct or speech indicative of self-respect or appreciation of the formality or gravity of an occasion or situation. What a definition. Bearing conduct or speech that shows self-respect and appreciation when you're talking about the things of God. And as I say, you're doing this now. Keep doing it. Show your high regard for the Word of God. The Word of God is our source. Everything in life that you think of that is important, it has its root in the Word of God. The life that you live, the family you have, the love that you have for others, the ministries you do, the actions that you carry out in life, they all have their root in the Word of God. If you have a rough patch in life, if you feel yourself getting away from God, then get back into the Word, and you'll find yourself getting closer to God again. In my talking with people over the years, not just in the time I've been here, but over all these years of ministering to people and talking to people, going, that goes back before I ever was a pastor. When a person was going through some sin, when they were going through some failure, when they were going through something that had them in the valley, and they just couldn't get out, and I would ask them, are you in the Word of God right now? 100% of the time, they said no. I said, I think that's your problem. You need to get back in the Word of God. And they look at me and say, because I got out of the Word of God, this happened. I said, well, directly or indirectly. Because when we're reading Word of God daily, we're not as apt to sin. That's one thing there. When we're in the Word of God and we get into a trial, see, the trials are going to come anyhow. But when we get in the Word of God and stay in the Word of God and a trial comes along, it doesn't knock us off our feet. We don't miss a beat. We go through the trial. It may not be happy. It may not be a joyous thing. A trial usually isn't. But if we're staying in the Word of God and remembering the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God, then it's going to get us through. And we will get through. Whatever the situation in life, whatever it is, it will pass. You say, well, sometimes people die. Well, the problem passed. Do you realize to die and go to be with the Lord is the highest thing we can achieve? Death is the way we go so that we can receive our inheritance. So that we can be with Jesus and we can be with others who've gone on before us. My goodness. Don't be so morbid when you think of death. For the believer, it's not morbid. It's our pathway to joy. And being a Christian, we're on that pathway. But death is the ultimate experience of all that. So, be dignified in your actions as you share the Word of God. That's being honest. Sometimes you got to tell people you're sinning. I do it all the time. I do it when I preach. I do it when I'm talking to people one-on-one. But you know what I found? People don't have to be told they're sinning. They know when they're sinning. All I'm doing is just confirming it. Well, you do realize what you're doing is sin. They'll say, yes, I know. They're usually honest. They don't argue. Because by the time they get to me, they're ready to hear some kind of solution. So they're ready to agree to stuff, you know. Well, I have to give them a little sermonette and tell them, you know, this is sin. And that doesn't mean that you're perfect or I'm perfect, but that just means that we all sin. So be honest with them. The third thing, be just. And that's towards others. As you deal with others, be just. Look at people in a non-judgmental way. When people do sin, when people do mess up, don't judge them. You need to love them. Now, again, you know they've messed up. Again, they know they've messed up. They don't need your judgment. They're judging themselves enough as it is. They're on a guilt trip. And they don't need to be on a guilt trip. They need to be seeking God. They need to be confessing to God. They need to be accepting His grace and mercy. And so be just with them. The fourth thing is pure. Purity. And that another word for purity is chaste. And I know this is old-fashioned, but it's still God's way. Listen, God's word still says that you ought to not have personal relations with another person unless you're married. I know our times have changed that, but hey, that ain't right. The times don't change God. God changes the time because He is Jehovah God. So when you're dealing with people, you need to tell them you need to live in purity. Or they're going to say, well, everybody sins. Or they're going to say, well, I deserve to be happy. I get that all the time. God's Word, if you'll read God's Word, you'll read, we don't deserve to be happy. We deserve to be dead and separated from God. But God, in His infinite mercy and love, sent Jesus Christ to die for us so that we wouldn't have to be separated from God. Don't get to talking about what we deserve, because we don't deserve anything. And if you want to be happy, the very apex of happiness is living in God and following God and obeying God. That's happiness. I mean, otherwise, just go get you some drugs and take them. But that's false. And living things out in sin, that's false. That's not true. It's not true happiness, because there's no purity. And it may come down to the place that you got to tell a family member, you're living in sin. This is not purity, God's purity. But in dealing with other people, stand firm on that. That's not being mean-spirited. That's loving them. Because if you compromise with that, and they compromise with that, everyone's a loser. Everyone's a loser. Robert Murray McShane wrote to Dan Edwards after Dan Edwards' ordination as a missionary. He said, in great measure, according to the purity and perfections of the instrument, will be the success. It is not great talents God blesses so much, it's great likeness to Jesus. A holy minister is an awful weapon in the hand of God. If you will live a holy life, you're an awful weapon in the hand of God. You can come against Satan wherever you are. You can talk to people who are under Satan's hold, people who are lost, people who are on their way to hell. You can speak to them and share the sweet words of Jesus, and you can pray for them, and many times they'll get saved because you stood in the gap. You stood for holiness and purity. Folks, don't ever let the times change you. Culture is another way of putting it. Letting culture change our minds and change our actions. We're supposed to change the culture by living out Jesus. In the early centuries of the church, you remember the first century? It says that the people who went out serving the Lord, they turned the world upside down. They changed the culture. We need to see that again. Before the Lord comes back, we need to see that again. So don't compromise. Paul says, think on the things that are pure and live them. The fifth thing, he said, think on the things that are lovely or lovable. Lovely here refers to what is lovable face to face. It's a personal type of word. Being lovable face to face. There's an instance of this in Mark 10:21. Jesus looked at him and loved him. That's that word. He loved him face to face. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Now, of course, this man did not do that. But Jesus was loving him as he spoke to him. And he was loving him face to face. And that's how we must do. We must go to people. Whether it's on the job or at the park or at the grocery store, wherever you go out into the marketplace of life, wherever you find yourself and there's a person who God puts on your heart, you love them face to face. You say, well, how do I do that if I don't know them? You remember when I first came here, first Sunday, I told y'all I loved you? On the first Sunday I was here, I'd tell individuals, I love you. They looked at me like, are you crazy? But Herman came around to that. Not because of me. The Lord brought you around to that. And now y'all do it. Y'all do it to one another. You do it to strangers. Y'all tell strangers that you love them. Not so crazy after all, is it? I mean, you're used to it. You don't even think about it. But I noticed it when I first came here. That's why I started telling you from the very beginning, I love you, because I needed to see y'all start telling other people you love them. Maybe through your actions you were saying, I love you, but this is face to face. This kind of love is face to face, and you got to speak it. You got to show it. When I first came here, I had some people say, don't hug me. I'm just loving people face to face. That's all that was. I didn't get run off because of it. He said, the things that are of good report, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whatever happens, it doesn't matter what you're going through. Conduct yourself in the manner that is worthy of Christ. You may be having a bad day. You may be upset because your bank account's low. You may have burned the grits that morning. I don't know. Whatever it is, regardless, conduct yourself in the manner of Christ. Then you will have people speaking well of you, of good report. they'll be saying this about you. And I know there's already a lot of people saying this about you. They say, whenever I see one of those people from Herman, they're just the same every time I see them. They're always friendly. They're always telling me they love me. They're hugging my neck. That's good report. That's a good way to meet with people. And they go out and tell other people about you. And it's not to bring glory to you, but it brings glory to God. Paul said, then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. Philippians 1:27. Whether I'm there with you or not, I'll hear about it. Now, when I'm over at Lakeview working with a senior adult, there's some of them in that group that know y'all. Some of y'all. Some of them are related to y'all, distant. Oh, it's just going to do my heart good about 3 months out, 6 months out. Oh, did you hear the good stuff that happened at Herman? And then they're going to give me a good report. And I'm going to smile real big and say, I pastored there. That's some great people. Let God just shine through you. And He will. And you're letting Him do that. Keep on doing that. Paul says, if there be any virtue, or whatever virtue there is, the word virtue appears only here in Paul's writings and once in Peter's writings in 2 Peter 1:5. It's an earthly term. That's why it only appears two times in Scripture. It speaks to being morally good. Piety and true morality are inseparable. Piety is love with its face towards God. Morality is love with its face towards man. You ever heard people say, don't be so pious? Well, if they say that to you, say, I'm not being pious for you. Piety is with your face towards God. You want to be pious before God. And it just simply means that you're doing good. There's virtue there. And God knows your heart. He knows when there's good in your heart. He knows when you're doing things that are good. And then, when you have morality, when you do things in a moral way, that is, you're following the Scriptures, you're not conceding to sin, you're not compromising to sin, you're living that holy walk. That's morality. And that's with your face towards man. And man will see your good morality. Man will see your good life. And if they ask you, why are you so different? Then you tell them, it's because of Jesus who's in me. He's the one. Number 8 is praise. Whatever is praiseworthy. It's not that Christians should make man's praise their aim. But listen to this. John 12, 42, 43. Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved praise from men more than praise from God. The praise that you're looking for is praise from God. You want God to be well pleased with what you do. You're not doing it for men's praise. Now, men can speak well of you. If they see you living for Jesus and doing ministry and all these other things, they can speak well of you. But primarily, you ought to be doing what you do to hear God's praise. When God gives you a that a boy or that a girl, you did good. And God does that. In our quiet times with God, He brings something up in our remembrance, something we experienced, something we did, and we did it for the right reason. We did it for God, and God blesses us. And we feel that warm feeling down deep that God is pleased. We want that. We want that from our Heavenly Father. And our Heavenly Father wants to give that to us. We should live so as to deserve men's praise. Not that we're seeking it, but that we deserve it, if it were to be given. That men would look at us and say, those Christians are certainly following their Lord. That makes us different. In Philippians 4:7, he talks about the peace of God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's my prayer that I've imparted some spiritual gift or sliver of wisdom to each and every one of you over the years. And as I said in the beginning, it's my desire that you continue to be followers of Christ. See, if you have that attitude, pastors come and go. They come on the scene, they do what they're supposed to do, following the Lord, leading the flock, giving themselves for the flock. And then when one leaves, another one comes in and does the same thing. You make it through those changes and transitions because the one that you're ultimately following never goes anywhere. He's here. He's the Lord. Life doesn't change. Because this morning you woke up with the Lord, and in the morning you're going to wake up and there He is again. And He was with you all night long. That's where true peace comes from. That's how we can live a life before the Lord and the world see a difference in us. And that means a lot. It means a lot because God is pleased with us. We're going to have a time of invitation. Got an unusual request for you. I'm going to invite you to come and pray for your next pastor. You thought I was going to ask you to pray for me, didn't you? I want you to come and pray for your next pastor. But pastor, we don't know who he is. God does. Pray for your search committee, that they will be led by God. Pray for the church as a whole, so that when that person is invited by the search committee to come in here and be introduced to the church, that the church will be open to see if that is God's man for this time. You need to be praying. And I know you have been praying, because I've heard your prayers in other places, prayer meeting and other meetings. I know you've been praying for the search committee. And some of you have been praying for the next pastor. But it needs to be a unified effort. You need to pray that God would bring that person here. Because see, you may be talking, you may start talking to somebody and they may say, well, I don't know if I'm the one, but if God's saying this is the one, then he's got to do some listening to God. So you need to pray for him. He's just a man just like me. But if he's open to the Lord, he's going to be Spirit-led. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the goodness and mercy that you've shown me and my family here for almost 14 years. For the way this church is taking care of us. For those times that we were strong, they were behind us and supported us. In the times that we were not as strong, they held us up and encouraged us. Lord, it's just been such a pleasure to interact and be part of this fellowship. And we truly knew that this was our home. And this has been our home for all these years. Now, Lord, we're going from this place, starting a new chapter in our lives. But Herman Baptist Church is also opening up a new chapter. And Lord, I truly believe this church's best days are still in front of her. I know you're going to bless her in so many more ways, just like you have in the past. And I know you're going to protect the flock. You're going to watch over them. And you're going to send in God's man who will be the shepherd of the flock, who will be led by the Spirit of God and be walking in the footsteps of Jesus. So today I want to pray for that pastor, whoever he is. And when he comes to this church, I pray that each and every individual will get behind him and follow his leadership, praying for him, encouraging him. If he has a family, doing the same for them, helping them to make their adjustments when they come in, so they can get to work. And I just thank you, Lord, for this church, how they come beside a pastor and they put their shoulder to the wheel. And sometimes they do some real hard work. And I thank you for that. And Lord, I just so much appreciate each and every person here today. And those who are not here, like the youth, I pray your protection on them as they travel. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness and mercy. It's in your name we pray. Amen.